Wow, I can hear me. I'm sure you can too. It is good to be back home. We enjoyed Eagle River. Tolerated Anchorage. I never miss driving in Anchorage. Everybody's in a rush to go nowhere. I don't get it. And then driving through the pass, I was like, why is there no greenery? It's June. And then it decided to snow on all the mountains while we were up there. Yeah. My in-laws live on a mountain. I looked at the snow. I was like, Lord, it's June. There's a season. And if it doesn't hurry up and get here, we're just going to miss it. Woo. But at least the mosquitoes don't like it. Amen? I'll take the silver lining in the cloud. So today, we're going to be starting a new series. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 2. And I apologize, we have a little bit of reading, verses 1 through 12. But before we begin, the icebreaker today is, where is the most crowded place you have ever been?
Hawaii.
New York. That was pretty busy. Shanghai, China. Trump rally in Anchorage. Disneyland. Yeah. Anybody else? Airports. Well, I would have to say New York City, as far as America goes, definitely took the cake for me. But still not quite as busy as what I found in Iraq. Whew. Tons of people. More people than you could ever want around you. Just so many to try and keep eyes on. But today we're looking at Mark chapter 2. And it says, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Today we're going to speak about the authority to forgive. This lesson is on forgiveness. This is critical. I mean, everything about our faith rests on this. Forgiveness. You cannot be in Christianity and not believe in forgiveness. We are here because of forgiveness. And I'm not talking we're here in this building. I'm not talking that we've been able to gather together. This earth is still here because of forgiveness. When Adam and Eve decided that they would sin and rebel against the Lord and eat the fruit which they should not eat, if it wasn't for mercy and forgiveness, that would have been it. There's no Genesis chapter 4. Chapter 3 is the end of the book. And they died. Game over. The fact that we're here speaks of the nature of our God. And yet, Israel, in their keeping of the law, forgot the nature of their God and instead focused on the letter. Oh, I'm going to tithe all the way down to the mint. You're missing the heart of why he spoke these things. So much so that he came down with people who thought they were keeping his word, and what he was trying to teach was radically opposed to what they believed. Our God's heart is one that amazes me. And I don't stand here declaring that I fully understand it. I do know that I've watched people become egotistical given a little bit of power. And God has all power and declares that he is humble of heart. How is that possible? Outside of you just being exceptionally great, that you could do all things and not become prideful. That you could sit here and suffer the sin against you to give us grace. That even within church, and we're not pointing any fingers, God will have grace with things that come against him. And yet I have watched in my decade plus of being a Christian the problems that can arise of, do you not know who I am? Do you not know what title I possess? Well, it ain't above his. And yet, God is lowly, humble. He says, learn from me. You know, that amazes me because God says, learn from me, which means I don't naturally do it. I've never read anywhere in the Bible where I have to be taught to sin. I just naturally do that. That is my natural state of things. Everybody has their own flavor. Everybody has their own preference. Some prefer greed. Some prefer pride. Whatever. To sit here and point and think that your flavor stinks worse than my flavor, you know, that's kind of a wasted argument. Because the world doesn't understand sin. And the reason it doesn't understand sin is because it's never experienced a world without it. It's never experienced perfection. The reason we can point to each other and say, well, I'm not as bad as them, is because we don't know what it's like to be up there. If we understood what it was like to truly be in His glorious presence, to truly be in front of the throne, to truly be in a place of perfect love, we would then understand how foul this world really is spiritually. But instead, it's easy to be like, well, I'm okay. And the problem is the ones that believed they were okay were the ones that thought they were following Him the most. So, church, when Jesus showed up, He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I am glad it wasn't just to Israel. I understand that while He was here, He was restricted in His ministry to ministering to the children of Israel. But for 30 years, He was restricted to not ministering to them. For three, they got Him upon His ascension. When the Spirit was poured out, we get to be ministered to. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when it was to seek and to save that which was lost, it wasn't Israel, it was mankind. Amen. Amen. To understand this is to try and understand that God's heart is towards forgiveness. When faith was exhibited, and we know the story, they tear off the roof. We've preached it 1,000 different ways. Let's tear off the roof. Let's lower in. But what has always amazed me about this story is when He looked at him, He addressed his spiritual condition before He ever addressed his physical one. We come in with many physical and earthly needs, and yet priority number one is the condition of your soul. Always. Where we are with Him is going to be priority. It's not that God's not a healer. He just doesn't prioritize it as much as what you're doing with your spirit. And so when these people, these great friends, lower him in, says, your sins are forgiven you. What a powerful thing. Because nowhere do I read him even ask for that. Nowhere do I read the friends were asking for that. My friend can't walk. Your sins are forgiven you. You know, it amazes me that when the Lord did that, the first reaction was not an exuberant one. It was, they wouldn't even say it out loud. They just reasoned within themselves. And I find that we as people, we like to do that a lot. It's a good thing we can't hear each other's thoughts. There'd be a lot of murmuring. It'd drive us crazy. We got enough problems with the way people can give us looks. We don't need the internal dialogue. I can't imagine what it was like to be Jesus. To hear people's thoughts. I can't imagine what it was like to be him, to walk on this earth and look around and realize that's not how you made it. This isn't what it looked like when I formed it. This wasn't the condition this place was in. I can't imagine what it's like to step out of heaven and to have to walk down here. We can't wait to walk up there. I can't imagine what it felt like every day to have to walk here. And to be sinless. And to look at us as a people, as his creation, with compassion. And look at the condition. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, what amazes me is that as they sat there, what they said was correct. Who can forgive sin but God alone? When we come in, we need to realize we need forgiveness. For some people, that's hard to accept. Because of pride. I mean, there's no nice way to put that. That's pride. Have you ever done anything wrong ever? Yes. You need forgiveness. Because the criteria to heaven is not good, it's perfect. That's what it is. It's perfect. Perfect in speech, perfect in deed, perfect in thought, perfect in intent. Perfect. And so when we sit here and we tell God, I don't need your sacrifice. I am standing before him saying, open my life's book and read it. You'll find I've done nothing wrong ever. Now, what is amazing about sin is God even says the measure you mete out will be met back to you. This is the condition of sin. Is that we are so fallen that if God were to erase his judgment, his law, and said, I will only judge you by what you judged others by, you would still fall short. Well, I don't like liars. Have you ever told a lie? Well, yep. Well, he lets you pick the criteria. And even when we set the measurement, we fail. Because sin can't live up to anything. Anything. For all that man has built, we have not built what God intended. We are not what he made us to be. He is reconciling us and remaking us in his image. But this world is not what it should be, that even those that don't believe in Jesus know in their heart, this is not how it should be. Something is wrong. We know that there's an injustice going on in life. Well, why? If it's all an accident, there's no such thing as an injustice. There's just a thing that happened. And it won't matter. But it does. I don't care how hardcore of an atheist you are. Scientific method says test it at its extremes. If you don't believe that any of this matters, look a father in the eye and be like, allow the most horrific thing to ever happen to your child. And then the person that did it never, ever comes to justice. Does it matter? No, it doesn't, according to your belief system, but everything in you rejects that belief system in that moment. You know that matters. You know that was wrong. You know that they should be punished. This was an injustice of the most grievous nature. And it takes place all the time. And that's why when people are like, I don't believe God forgives me. I don't believe God loves me. I don't believe God wants me. Do you realize how much sin God has endured and given grace just to give you an opportunity to come to Him? Even this day, across the face of the earth, it would just be mind-blowing and soul-crushing if we saw the list of sin that just took place this morning. And He knows it all. But here He is, and He wants to forgive. And what I propose as Christians that God has worked on me is I have found one of my hardest trials in Christian walk is forgiveness. It is. I know the Bible says turn the other cheek. You turn my cheek, I'm turning over a punch. That's my nature. I know I may not look it, but you ought to see young Mitchell. That man threw knuckles all the time. And that ain't a boast. As an older man, I'm still dealing with that younger man's mentality. Now I just got grace. But it doesn't mean that the little Marine's not chirping in my ear. And I'm not talking about hitting people. I'm talking about getting even. I'm not going to stand for this. You want to call me out? I'll call you right back. And that's not what I'm called to do, and I know it. And there have been times where the Lord, I am telling you, the Lord has said, Mitchell, you better bite your tongue. He doesn't even tell me to be quiet because He knows if I don't put teeth on that thing, it's going to start wagging. You better bite it. And I take it literally because I'm mad enough that I know it needs to be bit. But the reason it's the hardest trial for me is because I believe I don't really look at this. He asks them, what is easier to say? Your sins be forgiven, or arise and walk? Now, I know that we know we got the Holy Ghost. I know we know that God is a healer. I know that we understand this. I have seen healings. I have seen miraculous healings. I have watched a broken toe snap straight with nobody touching it. The girl broke her toe. That thing went this way, and then she tried to pull it back, and the bone almost poked out of the skin. And so we were praying, Lord, heal. Nothing happened. We were praying again, Lord, heal. Nothing happened. Over and over and over, and I went to God, and I said, God, I don't understand. This girl's in pain. Her toe's broken. You're a healer. It says if we ask, we shall receive. You don't receive because you don't ask, but we are clearly asking. What's going on? And the Lord said, it's with her. I'm teaching her. And I said, well, okay, this is a rough lesson for an 11-year-old girl. Can we get the shortcut notes? And all of a sudden it was, open up to Matthew 7:7. Right? And he said, have her read it. And she did. And God said, anoint her foot. So we did. And he said, now put your Bible down and have her stand on it. I said, okay. And he said, now look at her and tell her, if you can't stand on the word, what can you stand on? And she started crying, and that toe went snap. And I was like, wow. Now, just because we prayed, I got to witness that. We did not do that. He did that. We can pray for healing. We are not the healer. The healer resides within us. The healer does his miracles. The healer breaks the chains. He is everything we need. And yet, when it comes to forgiveness, he is declaring that forgiveness is in the same impossibility as making a paralytic walk. It can only be done by me. And we look at each other and tell each other, you need to forgive. Under whose authority? Mine? Because every time I try and produce forgiveness under my authority, it is shallow and it fails. For love covers a multitude of sins. And my own forgiveness shows me how shallow my love is. I'm not saying you can't forgive. I'm not saying that. There are things, if I looked at Thomas cross-eyed, he'd be able to forgive me. If he was sitting there snoring and just didn't care anything I said, I'd forgive him. Why? Because that didn't cut deep. That was a scratch. I have the ability to cover that. But it's when I've been sinned against. It's when it goes deep. We pray, God, I need a healing. And so I need you to release healing. Unforgiveness is a lack of forgiveness. I am the one dealing with the spiritual condition. And the only way it's going to be forgiven is if I pray, Lord, release your forgiveness into me. Because that river of forgiveness is so great, it will overflow the vessel and to the offender. We talk about a river of forgiveness that comes out of his side, this river of blood, this beautiful thing, this flowing grace and mercy. But do you know that every river always travels to a body of water that is greater than itself? So where would a river of forgiveness travel to? To a sea of forgetfulness. He casts it into the sea. How? Because it was carried by the blood in the river. Forgetfulness. I'm not talking about, oh, I can't remember. That's beautiful. I remember where I was. I remember who I was. But you know what I don't remember? I don't remember my thought process. I remember that I was angry. I don't remember what it's like to have that anger coursing in my veins anymore. Where it had a voice that wanted to be fed like a drug. Anything and everything to keep it going. And that voice would lie to me. You need me to stay safe. If anybody gets to you, they will hurt you. And so, boom, I'm feeding and feeding this thing. I don't remember that anymore. It's not that I don't recall I was like that. It's not here anymore. And church, there is something that can happen where I can remember what you did, but the festering, the wound, that bitterness is gone. Allow me to show you how I know that I haven't forgiven. I just need you to hurt me again. If everything from the past starts to come up like pus out of a wound, that is not forgiveness. That is unforgiveness that has made you bitter. And here's the problem with it. Is what are you going to do when you're holding unforgiveness with the one who wants to forgive? Mm-hmm. Outside of end up at war with him. Oh, well, it's just between me and them. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because this is something the enemy greatly desires for you to hold on to. And the better, the more deliberate, the more egregious, the nastier the wound, the more he loves it. Because he wants to convince you you're justified in not praying for them. You're justified in not forgiving them. And then one prayer, I forgave, I said it, amen, it's over. And they do something else and this stuff just comes up, all the past. We're going through everything, years, years worth of trauma. That is unforgiveness. And let me show you in my own life how it will affect your relationship with him. It's when God shows up to them and forgives them and starts to bless. And watch your attitude. How dare you? How dare you? Bless that. And you know what I've done? I've gone through the list. They did this. They did that, and down the list. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, do you not know that the name Satan means accuser? Whose heart do you have right now? You declare like they do. Oh, I'm yours. I got your name. I'm a child of the Most High. But it's the works of your Father which you do. Unforgiveness is a heart issue. And he said, I came to give you a new heart. This is killing me. God, I need you to forgive. This idea that I can produce forgiveness under my own authority is like thinking I can produce miracles under my own authority as well. He said, what is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or arise and walk. And do you not know that Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. How did it come? From him. Why do I think forgiveness will come any other way than his name? If I need him to forgive my sins, Why am I looking at you thinking I don't need him to forgive your sins? You sinned against me. You did this. And you meant it. And the worst part is you're not sorry. Now, I'm not saying every time. Sometimes we're just having a bad day and people just rubbed us wrong and they don't mean it. But what will happen is we've been hurt so many times, we won't even bring that to the table. But God says, forgive them. How? Lord, I don't have forgiveness. He supplies my lack. He supplies my need. I need forgiveness to flow to this. I don't have it. I don't know why we pray Jesus' name over everything outside of forgiveness. If you have aught against your brother, it says rebuke him. That's not sitting here and getting up and screaming and yelling and pointing your finger. That's letting him know. Thomas, did you know that actually hurt? That bothered me. You know, I'm not saying you meant it that way, but I'm telling you it stung. Hey, bro, sorry. But before I go to him, the fact that I feel it tells me my own forgiveness hasn't covered it. If it's stuck with me enough that I'm chewing on it, I need him. And the worst part is that we're sitting here not realizing that often I am a perpetuator of what's been done to me. He says, why are you looking at your brother's eye with the speck in his eye and you're not looking at the branch sticking out of your own? This is what is so horrific about the world, is sin perpetuates sin. Abuse perpetuates abuse. You abuse a child, they become an abusive adult. In the same manner that they were abused, racism perpetuates racism. The victim starts to get the heart of a racist because it's sin. And so if I'm looking at somebody and saying, this hurt, do you realize how bad I need forgiveness right now so that I don't do that to somebody else? Because I'm going to become the vessel that perpetuates this cycle. And God says, I have the authority to stop this. I have the authority to forgive. And that's what is so beautiful about the cross, is it's not just, let me do away with your sin. Let me do away with your wrongs. Let me do away with what you've done. He says, let's erase that so that I can write. The devil wrote his story about you. Let's erase that. Let me write mine. And what's so bad is often when you're me and you're coming into this late, you have been so abused by the world, he has to build you up just so that you can receive a promise. Not actually obtain it, just be told it. You know, God actually thinks you're wonderful. No, he doesn't. You know, God loves you and he would never forsake you. No, I don't think so. Why did God let all these bad things happen? Well, because God works on invitation. And I didn't want him in my life. The enemy is not so kind. They don't care if they're invited or not. They show up. And so you know what the enemy thinks of you. And you never, ever, I never saw the broken heart of God walking by me going, will you just please call on me? Will you just please call on me? And I start pointing, well, why'd you let this? Why are you letting them? And God's saying, but I am here to forgive you. I'm here to give you a new heart. I'm here to give you hope. I'm here to give you a new life. That's what's so funny to me, is in the garden, it said, when you do this, you will die. And it was a world without death. What would they know? And it's not even talking about the physical death we know. It's talking about separation from life. He's the life. This will separate you from me. To the point that God says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. And then we wonder why we can sit in such shallow walks, because our unforgiveness keeps us from ever going into the deep things. Oh, but I have the rain that falls on the just and the unjust alike. Oh, I get the blessing that He's given to all creation. But God, why don't I know you better? Because you are trying to take something into my kingdom that is not allowed. Because we don't even understand how destructive it is. And yet, church, He says, I have the authority. Whatever you did that you think you can't be forgiven for, well, yes, you can. Whatever someone else did, I'm telling you right now, this is something God helped me understand. When I struggle to forgive people, this is what God will tell me. He says, well, then you need a fresh revelation of what you've been forgiven. If I think your debt is so great that it is unforgivable, I need a fresh revelation of how much debt God just wiped off my account. Because whatever they have done to me has not even amounted to what I did to him. What this world has done to him. And one of the greatest blessings I can ever give him is my brokenness. Because here's this paralytic. Your sins are forgiven you. What sins? You don't know. Because it's none of our business. When God says it's forgiven, it is truly covered. If it keeps coming up, it hasn't been covered by Him. It's only been covered by me. And so I sit here realizing I couldn't come into this church forgiving myself. I couldn't come into this place and get to heaven by myself. I couldn't do anything by myself. Right. And church, we can't do this by ourselves either. We are called to forgive, but it is only by His authority that we can do it. So if you have unforgiveness in this house, if you have been struggling, I am telling you, today is your day. Today is your day. We are going to hear the sermon. We are going to lift up His name, but I am telling you, today is your day, because He has the authority to forgive. All right, make sure that you greet one another. Make sure that you greet one another with a brotherly hug. Amen. And get ready to lift up His name. Amen.